Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
Women's Football Weekly with Shabana Hearn and leading guests from the world of women's football.
Cuts back onto her right foot and finds the net!
On TalkSport 2.
Good evening. How are you? Hope you had a lovely weekend. Welcome along to Women's Football Weekly. Another week, another sacking in the WSL. As they say, it comes in threes. Jonathan Morgan leaves Leicester City after failing to secure a single point this season.
It's never nice losing, and the whole change room will tell you that. I think the club are fantastic because they realise it's a journey that we're on, and they know that we're at the beginning.
England battle to beat Austria and maintain their 100% start to World Cup qualification.
Whipped across, Mead, Kirby again, and surely it's time! Ellen White, the record draws nearer.
And Scotland rescued a point in their qualifier against Ukraine thanks to Abby Harrison, who got her first goal for her country.
Yeah, I don't probably think it's sunk in yet. Emotional, my family were here, so emotional moment for them. But yeah, when the dust settles, I'm sure I'll look back with pride and excitement over it.
Thanks to the Scottish FA for that clip there. We're going to be rounding up all the international action, looking ahead to the FA Cup final. Cannot wait. And hearing from Danielle Turner from Everton as well. This is Women's Football Weekly, National Radio's only dedicated women's football show.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Leah Williamson from Arsenal Women, and you can follow the WSL on TalkSport 2.
How are you? Hope you had a brilliant weekend. It's been all internationals, missing the WSL. Looking forward to having it back, but it's been a good run for our home nations as well. When it comes to World Cup qualification, we're going to get into it all very, very soon, but privileged and thrilled to have with us on the show tonight Arsenal legend and former Scotland international Kim Little is with us. How are you, Kim?
Hi, Siobhan. I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, very, very well. Thanks. I mean, we've been digging out the chocolate. We were getting out the fizzy juice. We were rolling out the red carpet for having you in tonight, Kim. So thank you so much for spending your time with us as well, because you're a busy woman. You don't get a lot of time for yourself. So I'm glad that you're spending your time with us tonight, especially on a Monday.
Of course, anytime.
Great. Well, we'll lock you in for the next 4 weeks then. So, Kim, what's it like? What's it like not being on international duty?
Yeah, it's obviously quite different to what I'm used to. This is, I think, the third camp since I retired from international. So, yeah, it's quite a shift in what my normal kind of life's been like for the past 15 years. So I'm just kind of getting used to it now. It's been the third international window, and it's just a slight change of my routine and a little bit more downtime to do sort of different things than going away with international.
It was obviously a decision that you really had to take seriously, and I'm sure as the show goes on, we'll get to know more about it. But are you missing it, or was it the right decision for you?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, it was the right decision. I think that's the best way to put it. I think it was something I'd thought about for quite a long time. So it was, I really considered and thought through kind of process and decision. So for me, it was, you know, about moving on and then, using my time to do other things and to be purposeful with that.
Good. Well, it's one of those things as well, when the news broke and you, like everything these days, you just read it on social media. And when it said that you were going to be stepping back from your international duty, I was like, oh my God, like it's going to feel strange not to see Kim Little wearing a Scotland shirt anymore and doing what you do for Scotland as well. So you'll be missed. Are you missing the girls, or are you like, nah, I was over you a long time ago?
No, of course. You know, that's, you know, one of the best things about football is, you know, your teammates and the relationships you have with them, who you're playing. And I obviously played with the national team for a long time, and you know, some of my best friends are through that. So yeah, of course, I miss spending time with them. Of course.
Let's talk about the WSL, Kim. Won't lie, we were texting this morning, yeah, and we were saying that Jonathan Morgan had been sacked from Leicester, and you were like, was he? Didn't know that. So you're spending your quiet time really off social media as well and off all news. Yeah, the news came out last week that Jonathan Morgan has been sacked from Leicester. He'd been at the club for 12 years. His family, a big part of the setup as well. It's a bit like Succession, but not as successful. His sister Holly, the first team coach, she also leaves as well, and she was the captain there. So Rohan Morgan was is his dad. He's the chairman of the club. And Jade, his sister, is the general manager since 2015. So what an awkward conversation that would have been, I imagine, between that family at their dinner one night. Right, well, you two are going to have to go now. But we've been speaking about this quite a lot, Kim, since the start of the season with Leicester getting into the WSL, just how different it is when you come up from the Championship and just how different the level is in the Women's Super League.
Yeah, I think obviously with the investment and the resources put in the game now, especially from even clubs, you know, like Leicester, you know, Everton, Birmingham, who've also parted away with their manager this year, there's obviously increased exposure and kind of expectations with that. And I think obviously when you're not picking up points and, you know, there's a real need to stay in the WSL, it can be a harsh one with you know, not keeping a manager. But I think it's almost kind of aligning a little bit more with the men's game in that aspect, mm-hmm, because of the investment and and where women's football's at now.
It's the right decision, because obviously Jonathan Morgan did run amok in the Championship, but since he has gained promotion, it's just not clicked for them at all. And we know that Leicester have a strong team, and if they can get the service up front, they can do some damage, but it's not happening. Kim, I want to ask you, what is more important right now in football? Is it clubs like Leicester, who are investing heavily in their squads, who should stay up, mm-hmm, or is it teams like Birmingham, who have been part of the Women's Super League for quite some time, who you would like to see up? What would be your preference there?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's a hard kind of comment to make on teams I don't really know too much about. But I think, like you said, when you have clubs that are really investing in women's teams, you know, I think Brighton's a really good example of that. Mm-hmm. Right now they're kind of reaping the rewards of investing and providing the resources to, you know, be able to play at a level and sustain a high performance level that means you'll be able to stay in the WSL. And I think that is really important, but I can't comment on, you know, those specific circumstances.
Of course, and Leicester are really investing, and we know that Emil Heskey, Leicester legend himself, is head of women's football development at the club and took on that role earlier on in the season. But he has been there for quite some time, overseeing training sessions. My sister was there a couple of seasons ago, and he was there at the time leading some of the sessions, and he's going to look after the next five fixtures as well. The next team's fixtures, and the next game is on the 5th of December. Interesting, Kim, just to get your thoughts on, you know, legends in the men's game coming into the women's game now. Does that mean anything to you?
I think just in general, I think because of, players like Emil Heskey who are involved, you know, within the women's, men's game, played at a really high level, I think it can be really beneficial for the women's game to kind of understand, I suppose, where the women's game is going, because we're obviously a little bit behind the men's game in that sense, in terms of its professionalisation, you know, throughout the leagues and, you know, even within the WSL. So I think it can be really beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even the influence that they would have, you know, men would have from the men's game coming into the women's game and bringing that audience as well. I know that's not how we see it, because we've been invested in women's football for such a long time, but with the game growing the way that it is, you know, with the rights and how it's changed over the last season, it would be interesting to see how many more, you know, followers can come over to the women's game and following the men over as well. You know, they need to be influenced somehow, some people, because it's not just football in their eyes. But the news broke today from Tom Garry at The Telegraph. He said that the England women's under-17 coach, Lydia Bedford, is in contention for the job as well, as well as the Football Association's former head of women's development, Brent Hills. They're the leading contenders for the vacancy. Willie Kirk got mentioned as well. Kim, did you work with Willie for a while, or have you never worked with Willie before?
No, I've not worked with Willie at all. He was at Hibs. I think that was after I was there, so I haven't actually worked with him.
Interesting. And also, Emil Heskey is the other person who seems to just be popping up. He's really invested in the club. He's got that huge role at the club. And I wonder if he will be the man just to take control and hopefully drive Leicester up the table as well, because you want to see them doing well, like we say, with the investment as well. Okay, and speaking of WSL managers, today the nominees for the Barclays at WSL November Manager of the Month were revealed. So let's take a little bit look at that, in more detail with Now.
Women's Football Weekly Preview on TalkSport 2 with a Now Sports membership. Stream weekly weekend matches from the Women's Super League live without a contract from just $9.99. Search Now Sports 18 plus. Stream via internet. Terms apply.
A few names you're going to know in here, Kim. One of them more than others, but Emma Hayes has been nominated. What's your thoughts on Emma Hayes? Because I find her just the most fascinating character.
Yeah, she's obviously, you know, been at Chelsea a long time now, and they've sort of developed into, you know, one of the leading kind of clubs within not just, you know, the WSL, but in European football as well. So she was actually at Arsenal when I first came to the club when I was only 17.
Wow.
Yeah, and I only worked really briefly with her, but yeah, she's obviously got so much experience within the women's game, and have really made Chelsea into a really consistent team. Which I think will get harder and harder to do within the women's game.
Mm. What was she like to work with at the time? What can you remember as a 17-year-old, Kim?
I can honestly remember not very much. At the time, I actually didn't train with the club. I was just flying down for games. So it was, you know, very brief at that point in time.
Interesting. Okay, because I mean, the things I've heard about her are so conflicted over the years as well. Like, she could be such an intense character, as can all managers, I'm sure. The next nomination is Kelly Chambers from Reading as well. She's done a good job, and she's just maintaining that steady way in the table as well, Kim.
Yeah. Again, Kelly's been a manager within the WSL for a long time at Reading, and yeah, they've maybe not been as good this year as they have been in previous years, but they, you know, they still have a very good team and are always a team that when we go up against, we know we need to be on our game when we play them to make sure we get the result.
Yeah, they can do those tricky games where they can just start to break you down and nick a point here and there.
Yeah.
And the other nomination, a man you know very well, is Jonas Edeval. He's up for Manager of the Month again. Kim, what's your experience like with Jonas? What's he like as a guy?
Yeah, obviously a new manager coming in this summer. We obviously kind of went straight into it this year because of the Olympics, and then, you know, we straight away were into Champions League fixture, so that we didn't actually have that much time as a team working with Jonas before we started games. But yeah, it's been great. It's you know, he's a fairly, you know, young manager. He's really progressive and, you know, energetic, and brings a real intensity to our game at the club, and it's been really enjoyable to work with someone new and to kind of push myself in different ways, which, yeah, has been really enjoyable. And obviously we've had a good amount of success this start of the year, so I hope that continues with
him. Still unbeaten in the league so far. He strikes me as the kind of guy who's very, very passionate, because I don't know if you'll see this when you're in the midst of a game, Kim, but he's so full on the, you know, in the dugout, on the sidelines, he gets right into it.
Yeah, I'm quite unaware of that actually when I'm playing in the game, and then I hear of kind of stories and celebrations afterwards, which is, you know, it's just fun. It just shows you you know, the good things about football and the passion and, you know, what it means to people. And it's, you know, that's the best thing about football, is that celebrating and you know, enjoying those moments with your teammates and your managers.
Yeah, and his first game, obviously against Chelsea as well, you can see how much it meant to him just getting that win. And I'm hoping we're going to see that again on Sunday, Kim. One thing I have to ask him, just out of curiosity, with you being club captain and being part of Arsenal and that setup for so many years, when Jonas Edeval was coming in, did he consult you? Did he speak to you about anything like that in advance?
No, they don't. It's very much, the board and above us. We don't get told or spoke to about it, which I think it's the, you know, maybe the way it should be, unless you know, people have previously worked with managers. Not at all.
Okay, I'm going to have to put you in the spot. Out of the three of them, who are you going to go for as manager of the month?
I've got to go for Jonas, have I not? Got to go for Jonas.
So. I think you might be right. That was a look ahead to the latest news in the Women's Super League action with Now. Don't forget, with a Now Sports membership, you can stream the Women's Super League live on Sky Sports without a contract. Search Now Sports.
Women's Football Weekly Preview on TalkSport 2 with a Now Sports membership. Stream weekly weekend matches from the Women's Super League live without a contract from just $9.99. Search Now Sports 18+. Stream via internet. Terms apply.
You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. My name's Shabana here, and I hope you're good tonight. Arsenal's Kim Little here for us as well until 8 o'clock. And coming up, we're going to chat about England after their victory in Sunderland next.
Women's Football Weekly with Shabana Hearn.
She's around the goalkeeper and has rolled.
TalkSport 2.
Monday evening, hope you had a lovely weekend. This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the only show on national radio dedicated to women's football. My name's Shaban, in for Faye. For the next wee while, an Arsenal legend and former Scotland international, Kim Little, is with us as well. And don't forget, if you miss any of the shows or you want to listen again, our podcast is available on the TalkSport app. It's really easy. Download it, swipe left. Everything on TalkSport 2 is there, and you can find this show there as well. So, Kim, let's look at the international, shall we? I know you're having a little bit of a detox downtime to yourself, but we have to talk about England against Austria, because it was quite possibly the toughest test that England have had so far in the qualification campaign. It was 1-0 to England against Austria. Terrible conditions, 10,000 fans though out in Sunderland in the cold and the snow, and a tough game, but they managed to just pull it together. Do you think having Leah Williamson out injured at the moment will be a big problem for them?
I don't think it's not a big problem for them, but it's definitely a big loss for them. They've obviously got a real depth within the England team, and she's obviously, Leah's had, you know, a great start to the season and been a real starting point for them within the national game since the summer. So she obviously has been the captain as well, and she's put in some really good performances from them, but they have, you know, a lot of great players there. And I think, yeah, like you said, I think, you know, Austria was their toughest opponent in the group, and they came out with, you know, a result, although maybe closer than they'd wanted. It's still a good result. In Austria are, you know, they're a really good team within women's European football, and have got really good results. I think it was against France in their last qualifying campaign for the Euro and stuff. So they were always going to be a tough opponent. And like you said, the conditions and things were not ideal, so I think they'll be pretty pleased to come away with that win.
It was, even though it was a win, you know, it was a big win, it's strange not to see the huge numbers that seem to come from an England game, you know, 13-0, 10-0. What's your thoughts of scorelines like that? Is it just one of those games that you have to put away, or just get the job done and take what you can?
I think, you know, with in the moment and maybe after it, you're like, oh, maybe more goals would have been better, but in hindsight, the most important thing is the 3 points. You can kind of bang your head against the wall with saying, oh, we should have scored more or this, but I think generally one should reflect on games. I know just from personal experience, it's the most important things is those points.
Mary Earp has been brilliant so far this tournament. Standout performer. She's pulled off some brilliant saves. Not that you like to see people being replaced, but, you know, do you think she's really kind of cemented her place there as the number one for now?
Yeah, obviously, naturally with footballer comes injuries, and, you know, people will come in and out of the team, and obviously Ellie Roebuck has picked up some injuries, and she's been their main number one for the last little period. But yeah, Mary Earps obviously stepped into that, you know, as Man United's number one, and has put in some really good performances within these qualifiers. So yeah, it's great to see, and obviously it's giving, you know, other people an opportunity, which is obviously not nice off the back of, you know, others being injured. But yeah, she's definitely taken her taking our place and put ourselves in a spot to go forward into the Euros next year.
And it's great seeing Jordan Nobbs back as well, back into the England squads for the first time since April. And she didn't make an appearance at the game just there, but you're very close to Jordan. You know her very well, of course, from Arsenal. How's she feeling about being back in the England setup?
Yeah, she's just, you know, she's buzzing to be back in there. You know, is obviously disappointed to not be in at the previous camp, but I suppose understood it from the stance of, you know, she wasn't playing consistently, but she's obviously put herself in a really good position now. You know, has played a lot more minutes and contributed hugely here at Arsenal. And yeah, she's just excited to be back in there and to get going again with England.
And we have to mention Beth Mead as well, because she's just been putting in some shifts since she's been back in, of course, with the job she's doing at Arsenal just now, but getting herself back into the England squad after being left out of Team GB. She was hurt by that. You know, how impressed have you been by her performance and her comeback?
Yeah, obviously, naturally, it's, you know, incredibly disappointing to not be selected for, you know, tournaments like that. And yeah, you know, Beth took that hard and was really disappointed. And but she's obviously started the season for us so well. She's put in really good performance in big games for us. And, you know, I think now you can see that with her getting, you know, really good starting opportunities with England, you know, and performing. So, yeah, she's in really good form, and I'm sure she'll continue that, you know, for the foreseeable future.
Of course. And Nikita Paris as well, the news came out today that she's left the England squad to go home and get some rest. That's something we've seen with Viviana Miedema as well, getting that day off from a game from Arsenal as well, with the amount of football that's been played. Nikita Paris, part of Team GB, so she's missing out in tomorrow's game. She's going home to get some rest, which is great. And Ellen White now is only one goal away from matching Kelly Smith's record. What's Ellen White like to play against? Because she's still on incredible form.
Yeah, she's such a professional and hard worker. I played with Ellen when I was first at the club down here at Arsenal. We played for 3 years here together. And yeah, she's the ultimate professional. She's, you know, wants to work her hardest for the team and get herself some really, you know, good goal scoring opportunities. And I think, you know, that speaks for itself with the England record and her consistency and, you know, playing at that level and scoring in big matches. So yeah, I'm really pleased for her.
What's she like compared to Kelly Smith, Kim?
Yeah, they're both very different players. I think, you know, Ellen's more of a nine, more of a forward. Kelly's more of a playmaker, you know, number 10. So they're quite different in their kind of, you know, goal scoring ways, I suppose. But yeah, greats of the game. And yeah, I'm, you know, Ellen's doing, you know, really well tonight, and obviously is, well, most likely surpass that record of Kelly's.
100 caps as well for England. Here's what Serena Weigman had to say about England centurion Ellen White.
Yeah, I think it's just an incredible achievement. And if you've been for 100 caps, you've been so consistent. And well, I know I've learned to know Ellen as a real professional player, as a terrific team player. And then the consistency she brings, she wants to become better every day, and that's really special. So yeah, it's just really a great acknowledgement.
Serena Weigman there, and let's hear now from the goal scorer herself. This is what Ellen White had to say after the game.
Yeah, obviously it's come full circle for me in terms of making my debut for Austria, against Austria, and then my 100th cap. So yeah, for me, you know, I'm incredibly proud to have represented my country 100 times. Yeah, I feel super lucky to be a part of this team and to be surrounded by such talented players. And obviously for us to get the win, that was the main goal. Yeah, it was a really tough game, tough conditions. But yeah, really proud to have contributed and to help the team win, really.
Fair play, sir. Kim, tomorrow night is England against Latvia. The last round was it 13-0, Flo, or 10-0? How did that 10-0 that ended? How do you see this one playing out tomorrow?
Yeah, probably very much so like that. going that way. Obviously, England, you know, they've got such a depth in their squad. I'm sure they'll change up a little bit. But yeah, I can't see it being too much less than those score lines tomorrow.
Okay, well, you can join Adrian Durham and producer Flo Lloyd-Hughes tomorrow night as they'll be at the Keepmoat Stadium in Doncaster for kickoff on TalkSport. That's from 6 o'clock to cover England against Latvia. And coming up, we're going to chat through the rest of the international action next.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hope you had a lovely weekend. It's Monday. This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. My name's Siobhana Hearn. Arsenal's Kim Little with us all night as well. Kim, it's lovely to have you with us tonight. And looking forward to getting stuck into this chat as well, because we need to focus on Scotland against Ukraine. Thanks very much to Abby Harrison grabbing that goal in stoppage time the other night at Hampden, and Scottish time as well. Brilliant for her, our first goal for our country as well, in front of all of our family. Did you watch the game, Kim?
I didn't actually watch the game.
You've totally divorced from Scotland. Are you going to join England or something, Kim? Is that what you're going to tell me next?
No, I'm not watching anything. I think I'm still at that point where I'm just kind of removing my... self a little bit from it to obviously not miss it and to feel a little bit nostalgic. So I've not kind of persuaded myself to watch it, not out of because I don't care or because you know, I don't want to see the girls play, but just almost just a part of my process of coming to terms with, you know, stopping playing. But I'm sure I will in the next games. But yeah, obviously a last gasp goal to get a point. And yeah, I think and actually they'll be disappointed with the result, you know, because they would have expected to win. But I think they're still in a really good place in terms of the group for getting, you know, a playoff place and, you know, qualifying for the World Cup.
Still unbeaten at Hampden as well, which is great. But Kim, you mentioned it there. I have to ask, what was your reasoning behind stepping back from the Scotland squad? What made you make that decision in the end?
Yeah, I think that it wasn't a lot of different reasons that kind of accumulated. You know, there was, I think, one, because I'd been doing it for, you know, a long period of time and I just felt like I, you know, wanted a change and I wanted to, you know, spend my time doing other things. Yeah, so I think it naturally just felt to me like it had sort of done its course, which I think is maybe hard to explain or describe to, you know, other people, but that's just the feeling that, you know, I kind of had. I just felt like it was the right time. Personally,
is it one of those things as well, is there an added pressure on you for being part of the Scotland squad for so long and being a Scottish legend, shall we say, to take the game to the next level? Or do you add that pressure on yourself to try and develop things differently and it's not happening?
Yeah, I think naturally as female footballers, especially in you know, obviously the game's really developed here in England, but in Scotland it's, you know, further behind in terms of its development. So yeah, I think a lot of us feel a real responsibility to, you know, push the game forward and, you know, try to improve things across the board, definitely.
Is it
higher and above, they're just not letting that develop? Is it just, you know, banging your head against the brick wall sometimes? And you know, you talk about Ireland getting the equal pay for the international girls as well. I imagine that Scotland have been trying to campaign for that as well.
Yeah, we obviously, myself and Rachel Corse are the captain. We're obviously in most of the discussions and the talks with you know, some of the more senior people within Scotland. And yeah, I think it's you know, it's a development of the game, and it's you know, trying to push for especially resources, not necessarily finances all the time, about, you know, what's needed to be high performing and to be able to compete with, you know, the higher ranked nations. And that, you know, there's still a fair bit to go in that sense with you know, the national team in Scotland. You know, there's definitely been progress, but there's definitely a lot of steps that can be taken to kind of help with that high performing environment to, you know, provide you know, better opportunity to reach the potential that the team has, you know, because there's, you know, such a great group of players there that are so talented and are playing at the highest level, you know, whether it's here in England or in Europe or in America. And I think it's definitely, when I was there, I don't think we quite reached our potential as a team for what we were capable of. And I think, you know, that can be to do with, you know, lots of different things, you know, getting the best out of each other, but also to do with the, you know, the resources we're provided with. So it's about developing that side of the game.
What resources, Kim? What is it that's missing?
I suppose it's just, you know, staffing. It's, you know, we don't have full-time staff within Scotland. Other nations do. And just resources, I suppose, in the sense of high performance resources, you know, whether it's nutrition, you know, recovery kind of methods. It's lots of different things, but you know, it's definitely progressed and it's becoming better, but there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, it annoys me, Ken. It annoys hearing that still, because you want to think that it is better. It is better than that, especially when you look at the men's Scotland team at the moment, for a long, long time not being present at international tournaments, and the women being grinding away and being present the whole time, but still not getting that acknowledgement and getting those resources that they require, like the men get day in and day out. That does my nut in. Is it still annoying you?
It doesn't annoy. I wouldn't say it annoys me. It's just, for me, what, you know, I want to do now is to, as the women's game progresses and as it develops and professionalizes, you know, whether it's domestically or nationally, it's kind of, I suppose, making people aware and recognizing, you know, what's required. And I think a lot of the time it's maybe just a lack of awareness or, understanding of that. So it's, you know, as a player who's been in the game a long time, it's to try and, you know, push for those things and, you know, do that consistently, so to make those changes.
I imagine you gave it all 100%, as you always do, for your time at Scotland, but are there any regrets, anything that you wish had happened differently?
I think for me it was maybe just to push a bit more, which is not, I wouldn't say it's a regret, but you're definitely back, and I think maybe sometimes I could have kind of pushed for a bit more. But apart from that, no, I wouldn't say I have any regrets at all.
Push for a bit more what, Kim? Sorry, that's like therapy.
like what we were just speaking about there, about, you know, the resources and what's needed to kind of reach the, you know, higher level performance to be able to compete.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that you're not going to be wearing a Scotland top anymore. You will be missing that Scotland team. But let's talk about the next fixture as well for Scotland. It's against Spain. And the last time Spain lost, I think, was June 2019. This is going to be a right test for the Scotland team tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. I think Spain are probably one of, I'm not sure what their ranking is, but they're definitely one of the most informed nations right now, you know, whether that's obviously domestically with Barcelona or with the Spanish national team. I think most teams don't want to come up against Spain, just, you know, one, because of their current performances, but also just their style of play is extremely hard to play against. So it'll be a really tough game tomorrow for Scotland, but it'll be a good kind of, I suppose, basis to see where they're at and you know, to try and compete with the best.
Absolutely. We saw, I was coming home from Glasgow last night and I saw Jenny Beattie in the plane. God love her. She's got another wee injury, a wee niggle, working away at the moment. So she's going to be out for this game tomorrow, which is a shame. But somebody we have to mention is that how Erin Cuthbert has just turned it around and is just unbelievable at the moment, Kim.
yeah, you know, Erin's a great player, and she's, you know, extremely fun to play with. She's got so much energy, passion, and obviously technical ability, and she's really, you know, she's still so young, but she, you know, she holds a lot on her shoulders, especially with Scotland and obviously with Chelsea this season. She's, yeah, you know, one of their main starters and the main part of their team. So she's been great and really developed over the past couple of years.
You must be proud as well, Kim, looking at the members of the Scotland team who are representing in the WSL as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's you know, obviously Erin is doing so well at Chelsea, and then obviously Caroline Muir at Man City. Especially, you know, I think being midfielders as well. I got to obviously play with them at Scotland for a number of years, and they're so talented technically. They've got such a natural ability, and I think, you know, are some of the best players to watch in the league. So yeah, definitely. It's definitely, you know, great to see Scottish players do well, both domestically and internationally.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Fingers crossed for Scotland tomorrow night against Spain. Well done to Wales beating Greece 5-0. They are doing very well at the moment, and they've got so many young players coming through. Their next fixture is against France. That's tomorrow. And Republic of Ireland, Kim, you might have a really angry Katie if they do not win against Georgia tomorrow. 1-1 against Slovakia at Tala last Friday night. And that was a tough game to watch, because Ireland are so good and so strong in some places, and in other parts they're just really sloppy, you know, and it's tough to watch. And Slovakia are a really strong, aggressive team, and they really put up a little fight. But Katie got the goal, which was brilliant, and fingers crossed, it's a must-win for Ireland against Georgia tomorrow.
Yeah, again, you know, Katie's in great form this year for us at club, and it's obviously putting that international to Republic of Ireland. But yeah, they're in a kind of tight spot. They've dropped some points and obviously need to pick up these points tomorrow to make sure that they can, you know, stay in touch with that second place if they hope to qualify.
I hope for that too, because then looking ahead to Sunday, the FA Cup, if Kate McCabe's in a bad mood, oh dear, God love us all. And also let's mention Northern Ireland as well against North Macedonia. 11-0, this is the first time this has ever happened for Northern Ireland. It's just brilliant to see our home nations, our small countries starting to boss it. And credit to Northern Ireland, not all of their players are full-time. What does that say about the development of women's football?
Yeah, I think obviously with them qualifying for the Euros, that was a great step for them, and then putting in a result like you just said, an 11-0, you know, that doesn't come out of anywhere. So, you know, it's great to see you know, the home nations doing so well and progressing in that sense.
Absolutely. And don't forget, you can hear England against Latvia tomorrow. It's going to be Around the Grounds. Flo, our producer, and Adrian Durham going to be working on that tomorrow night from 6 o'clock. We'll keep you posted on all the other scores as well. And in other international news, Viviana Miedema, she's gone and done it again. She's been awarded the BBC Women's Footballer of the Year Award. And I caught up with her earlier on to get her reaction to the news.
I would love to be having a wee whiskey or glue wine or mulled wine or however you want to call it in English, but obviously not, since I've got the big call again and we've got a game on Sunday. But yeah, BBC Player of the Year, obviously unreal to win it. I think I'm happy with the season obviously we've had last year with qualifying for Champions League with Arsenal, the successful Olympics on a personal note, but I hope that this year we obviously get some prizes with Arsenal and with the national team at the Euros in the summer. And yeah, it's amazing to win an award yourself like that, but I obviously couldn't have done it without my teammates either, so probably would definitely want to thank them, and yeah, thank all the fans who are obviously phoning for me as well. So yeah, absolutely chuffed that I won it, and focuses on the FA Cup final for next weekend.
Viviana Miedema, BBC Player of the Year. Kim, what's Viv been like to play with this year?
Yeah, obviously she's so humble speaking there, but yeah, she's done so well this year, or past year, or, you know, however many years before that, and still being so young. Yeah, she's an incredible player and such a good finisher. Yeah, and we're incredibly proud of her here at Arsenal, for, you know, winning that award. Yeah, and it's for me, it's, you know, it's she's just fun to play with and link up with, and you know, to play good football with. Yeah, so we're really proud of her.
Yeah, she actually watching her just now, at any time then she can get the ball and get into those areas, she could just score such beautiful goals. And it's just the amount of goals that Viv can get. She's breaking all kinds of records. And she's very humble. She doesn't seem to say anything. She doesn't really care for records, you know. I think if I were a player, I'd be like, oh, look at me, I got another record. But she really doesn't care, which is quite interesting about her.
Yeah, she's she doesn't like the attention at all. And yeah, we always laugh about that because we're quite similar. But yeah, her, you know, her records speak for itself. To be able to consistently score that often for both club and country, you know, is special. For sure.
Absolutely. By the way, as well, she just the videos that went up on social media of the BBC coming into Arsenal training ground to surprise her. She's like, oh my God, like she had such a ready. It was very, very funny. You should check it out online. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. My name's Shabana Hearn. Kim Little is the other voice that you can hear with us. She's been with us all night. It's been brilliant. Next up, you're going to hear from Everton's Danielle Turner and look ahead to Sunday's FA Cup final. Hope you're having a good Monday evening. This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the UK's only national radio show dedicated to women's football. My name is Shabana Hearn. Kim Little from Arsenal been with us all night as well. We were just talking about Viviana Miedema getting BBC's Player of the Year, and it's also the Ballon d'Or tonight as well. Viviana Miedema nominated for that as well, which is crazy. Imagine to think she can win both of those awards on the same day. I'm sure she'll celebrate in style with an early night. TalkSport's Bradley Hayden has been chatting to some of the big names in the WESL all season. And this week, he sat down with Everton's Danielle Turner to chat about coming back from a difficult injury and working with a new manager.
Yeah, so it was functional popliteal entrapment syndrome. it's easy for me to say now, I know what it is, but I didn't have a clue back then. Yeah, it was a problem that was troubling me for quite a while, for a few years actually, but it got quite intense last season. And, you know, after tests, that turns out I had this functional popliteal entrapment. Obviously, it required me to have surgery towards the end of last season, so it was disappointing for me to then miss the end of the season. But I think, you know, it was key the time that I had the surgery, which enabled me to be back in time for, you know, I worked hard over summer doing rehab here at Finch Farm on my own quite a lot, which enabled me to be back just in time for pre-season when all the girls were coming back as well. So I think the timing was quite good in terms of that surgery. But obviously, just obviously helping me with the problem and just getting back playing with the girls. They had a bit of a stop-start pre-season. You know, at times it's the calves still didn't feel quite right. But, you know, well, got into the season and, yeah, it was a lot better and I was flying. So, yeah, just feel nice to get back onto the pitch after. It's a strange injury, so you say. Yeah, it's a strange one, bizarre one. But, yeah, just pleased to be back on the pitch.
And just how difficult was the opening few weeks of the season for the team? You obviously faced all the big teams to start off with, some difficult results still. Obviously, change of manager as well, Willie Kirk losing his job and John Luke Vasseur coming in as well, who we'll come on to in a second. Just how difficult was that opening few weeks as well in terms of results as well?
Yeah, it was really difficult. Obviously, the fixtures, probably a bit unfortunate. You know, we're playing the two of the top teams in the country in the first few fixtures, and obviously the score lines weren't great on our behalf. So it was really difficult, but obviously there was a lot of change over the summer. I think 8 or 9 new players. So that does take time. It's a process. So obviously the fixtures didn't help at the start. So it was a really difficult period. And then we picked up a couple of good results following that. But then obviously, unfortunately, obviously a change in manager, that's then difficult in midway through a season, then becomes like a period of adaptation. Obviously Jean-Luc coming in now, you know, we're still getting used to how he wants to play and, you know, him putting his philosophy to us and his new ideas and things. And, you know, there's a lot of changes when that happens, you know, change of schedules and just getting used to different things. So, yeah, it was a difficult bit for us at the start of the season, but now we just want to, you know, look forward and hopefully try just keep improving every week and looking to build for the future.
Yeah, and I'm building on that as well, after that win over Leicester, hopefully it's onwards and upwards from here. I mean, I was looking at the table yesterday. You're now sort of 5 points away from the top three. You're 4 away from fourth place. Do you feel like a top four is still a realistic target for you this season? Or what is the aim for the club, do you feel, this year?
Well, the ambition is still Champions League qualification. I'll get to as close to that as we can. As you say, I think there's 5 points between third and tenth at the minute, so I think there'll be a handful of clubs looking, you know, for that. I think especially that third place is up for grabs for a lot of clubs, and we're certainly one of them. You know, we will, the ambition of this club is to get into the Champions League, and we'll fight until we achieve that. Whether that happens this year, you know, we will keep fighting, we won't give up on that. And I think it's so open, the league this year, especially for that third place. So, yeah, it's still something that this club, the ambition of this club is definitely to get into the Champions League.
That was Danielle Turner speaking to TalkSport's Bradley Hayden. Don't forget, Everton have a stretch of three home games coming up, by the way. So a great opportunity for you fans to get down there and watch the team. And speaking about fans, everyone and anybody who I know on Sunday the 5th of December is going to the FA Cup final, Arsenal against Chelsea. 40,000 tickets sold so far. Kim Little from Arsenal is with us tonight on the show. Kim, 40,000 already. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I didn't realise it was that many already. But yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, for me, it's just great. I think to be a part of women's football and to now see the interest and the support behind it and the one, like you just said, everyone wants to go to Wembley and to watch the cup final. It's really special and it's nice to be a part of.
I think as well, what makes this one extra juicy is the Arsenal-Chelsea rivalry. The last time you guys met was the first game of the season where Arsenal beat Chelsea 3-2. Is this the biggest test of the season for Arsenal so far on Sunday?
Yeah, I think obviously it's a high pressure game and, a one-off final. So it's, a little bit different to some of the other games we've played. I think it's quite different to a league game or even a Champions League group game. But yeah, it's one of the biggest games of the season so far, and it's quite unusual playing an FA Cup final in December to be honest, but one we're really looking forward to. And like you said, we're the top two in the league right now, and it'll be a great game and a great occasion, and hopefully great for everyone to watch.
Arsenal suffering a wee bit when it comes to injuries, of course, with Jenny Beattie and Leah Williamson. Centre back being an issue just now, Kim, or is that going to be dealt with?
No, I think the depth of this quality of the squad we have right now, we can, adjust and, change players and, have a great team on the pitch. So, yeah, there's, minor, injuries within the team, but, that comes with the season and the progress of the women's game and the amount of fixtures we've had. So it's just all about managing that, and making sure as a team we're in a good place come Sunday and we put in a really good performance and to hopefully bring home some silverware.
Would there be nerves ahead of that game, Kim, for you?
I'm not personally, for me, I'm not that anxious or nervous a person. I think, I'll get a little bit anxious before the game, but I wouldn't say it's nerves. It's more just because of the occasion and, it's such a great game to be a part of. But, there's definitely, there's a mixture of different characters and personalities within the team, and of course there's nerves for some and not for others and on different levels, but that's something that's part of what we do and we need to control. And obviously it being a big occasion, like you said, a lot of people coming to watch and a high pressure game, it's something that we need to control to be able to get the outcome we want from it.
Of course. What's it like to play at Wembley as well, Kim, especially in front of so many fans like that?
Yes, I've been lucky enough to do it a few times, and it's such a special occasion to be one in the FA Cup final, and to be at Wembley and to play in front of so many people. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And it's something to savour. I think you don't get lots and lots of opportunities to be in cup finals and to take in those moments. So we're really looking forward to it, and yeah, we hope it's a great day.
Okay, I have to ask as well, how are you preparing for this game? Like, what's your night before routine?
Night before routine? Yeah, just relaxing, trying not overthink too much. We'll obviously come together as a team on Saturday and train, and then stay together until the game on Sunday. So, we just, we prepare, we do our training and our tactical information normally, and then kind of into the evening and that, it's more relaxed and getting ourselves in a good place. And a good mindset to be able to perform to the best of our ability come the game on the Sunday.
Okay, well, Kim, I wish you the best of luck. We're rooting for you guys.
Thank you.
On Sunday. It's going to be Arsenal against Chelsea, FA Cup final, 2 p.m. 40,000 of us going so far, and surely that can go up and up and up, because I think it's a capacity of 90,000. So let's sell it out, why don't we? Good luck to you, Kim. Everything crossed. It's been lovely to have you on tonight. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Siobhan.
All right, we'll speak to you soon. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Danielle Turner, Bradley Hayden, producer Flo, and all of you as ever for listening. And don't forget, if you missed any of the show, download the Women's Football Weekly podcast via the TalkSport app.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.